lasers, fiber optics, microprocessors, and magnetic bubbles for the transfer of information, ideas, knowledge.
Hi there, dear creatures of the night. Thanks for tuning in again to the podcast that brings you post-punk, darkwave, synth sounds, and much more music with a dark lining, both old and new, as you know. After taking a break from 27 episodes and two glorious specials, Jeroen and I are back and have dusted off our crypt for the third season of The Infected. We will be broadcasting to you every other week from now on, so please subscribe to never miss an episode. In the podcast of this week, we will take you all across the spectrum of music that we love, from obscurities of the 80s to covers of classics to brand spanking new work. Lastly, we're bringing back our beloved movie section, The Big Picture, with a great tip and soundtrack. Jeroen, will you do the honors?
Yeah, we're going to kick it off with Save a Prayer by the Eagles of Death Metal.
Corner of Main Street.
right, so those were the Eagles of Death Metal. We were already talking about the fact that this is a Duran cover, and what a great album this cover is from, this track from the album Rio by Duran. And this is covered by the Eagles of Death Metal in the Cover Me section.
Cover me!
So, the Eagles of Death Metal is actually the collaboration project of two high school buddies called Jesse Hughes and Josh Holm. Now, you may also know Josh as the lead man of stoner rockers Caius and more recently Queens of the Stone Age. And this started out in 2004 just as a fun side project, but the Eagles of Death Metal turned into a full-fledged band that toured extensively and recorded several albums. And this track is from the album Zipper Down. So in 2015, 2 months after the release of Zipper Down, on tour in France, the band played the Bataclan in Paris when terrorists attacked the venue. The terrorists killed 88 audience members plus the band's merchandise seller. The band members cancelled the rest of their European tour and set up a charity campaign with all proceeds of their songs I Love You All The Time and this track, Save A Prayer, going to the victims and the survivors of the attack. Jesse Hughes suffered from depression after the attack, but still, the band wanted to make a statement and show that they would not yield to terrorism. They returned to Paris a month later and played a show, together with U2, with free admission for all Bataclan survivors. What did you think, Gov?
So I liked it. They got the guitar effects right. That main theme is a synthesizer with some delay effects, but they now did it with a guitar that offers us some more balls and edge and spunk, if you will. They still stay true to the original, which I love. So I think it's a very, very good effort.
Totally agree. It's a raunchier version.
Yeah.
But you can hear that there's respect and love for the original.
Most definitely. So they chose this song as a symbol for the people that lost their lives at the Bataclan. Save a Prayer.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, it's fitting.
Do you know any other tracks by the Eagles of Death Metal, by the way? I've never looked into them. They were in the news heavily, of course, a few years back. But I never took the time to dive deeper into these guys.
It's straight guitar rock, most of the stuff that they do. As yeah, I know a couple of songs by them, but for certain playlists, they're a welcome addition.
The Infected.
So right now we're going to talk about Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry. That's a real tongue twister of a band name, if you ask me. Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry. Holy shit.
The person who thought of that band name should be fired. This is probably the stupidest band yeah. name I've ever heard.
It is stupid, but I also read in an interview that they did that on purpose, so people would be curious to what it means and look into this band. Anyway, I shall now refer to them as Dolores, just to prevent mispronunciation and save myself a hell of a lot of time editing this podcast.
Yeah, they'll teach them.
So, this post-punk band is from the UK, from the city of Leeds to be exact, and they formed in 1981. And Leeds is also the city where the March Violets and the Sisters of Mercy have their roots. And we discussed those two bands last week together with Dusty, of course.
Yeah.
And they were heavily influenced by Joy Division, but throughout their career offered plenty of variations and definitely an own distinctive sound, if you ask me, to break free from their main influence. And despite their playful choice of band name, they are a band that offers just the kind of ferocious intensity that I look for in dark wave and goth rock. So the vocals are doomy, the drum machine patterns are aggressive, the guitars are distorted and layered, just the way we like it. I also noticed that almost all of their songs clock in at just under 4 minutes long, most even under 3 minutes. So that puts it in the Goldilocks zone with short and sweet power songs. And the Lorrys were also blessed with the interest from John Peel. In fact, they were one of John Peel's most favorite bands. With this support and after releasing a few singles and performing live, they released their first album in 1985, Talk About the Weather, and after this album, 3 more albums would follow. So Talk About the Weather is regarded as their best work and can be found on Spotify. Instead, I picked a song from their third album, Nothing Wrong, that's from 1988. It's not on Spotify, unfortunately, but we solved that for you by getting it on a sweet MP3 of 320k PBS. So give me a minute and we'll blast it for you. This album is even darker and more ominous sounding than their previous work. It's definitely an album with a lot of atmosphere. So if you like raw and bleak music, you'll be served in just a minute. Also, the lyrics have that character, cold and bleak. and they outline the cutthroat nature of the modern world and the underlying insanity and pressure on people that that brings along. Anyway, for me this record always took a life on its own and remains one of my favorites of all time. So let's enjoy Nothing Wrong from the self-titled album of 1988. Here we go.
So do you think these guys did it on purpose to have the most boring band name ever and then also call their album Talk About the Weather to make sure that nobody was prepared for what they were going to launch sonically onto their audience?
I must say that they did release, out of the four albums, three that are very, very worthwhile. While I totally agree that the album name and also the band name sounds a bit cheesy. Wouldn't know.
This is one of the secrets of my late youth. I used to have this song on a tape. And obviously, this is a tape by a friend of mine. He's called Leendert. And he had a great taste in music. And of course, as it happens, you keep the tape, but then the cassette cover goes missing. And you like what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have Shazam in those days. So you know that you like it, but you have no idea what you're listening to.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of those mysteries from days gone by that you have now solved for me. And I would have never thought to look for something called Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry. So they did a great job in hiding this from me for all those years. And now you're bringing it back to me. So this is almost an emotional moment for me, Gov. Really, thank you.
That's really cool. And dear listener, this is absolutely not scripted because, Jeroen, I stumbled upon one, I think, maxi or 12-inch or something on vinyl a few years back by these guys. I really liked it, dug up more, and that's the way I came across this song. But I did notice that our previous co-host, Jan Willem, also had a song by Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry in our Vleermuizen playlist on Spotify. So he's also aware. Cool story.
Cool band too. And by the way, that playlist that Gov just mentioned, Vleermuizen playlist, is a playlist which you can find on our website, theinfected.nl. And it has 46 hours of hand-picked dark songs that you can listen to, and you can go and you can find new bands. It's a great playlist for discovery, and we're still adding stuff to it every now and then, but no complete albums, no big drops, just single tracks that we love and want to hear over and over again in that 46-hour playlist.
all killers, no fillers, people.
Right. That's it. Pretty guitar-heavy start. I hope we will get to some synths eventually, but this is awesome, man. I really loved hearing this track again. It has a real drive, this track. Also, melodically, it's very interesting, but the undercurrent is powerful and dark, and I like it.
Thanks. I totally agree. So, talking about synths, Jeroen, maybe it's a good idea to take it to the recent years with some synth stuff. Do we have something on the pile in our crypt?
Yeah, we have our Insta Outcast for this week. So this is Dagon with Eternal Void. This is our Insta Outcast. It's a track from the ultra fresh album Adam Kruger, which was released just last week. So it doesn't get any fresher than this. This is from January 2021. Dagon is a follower of The Infected, so that's how I picked up on his release. There's a tip in here for others as well. Follow The Infected on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll follow back so we can see what's new with you. Who knows, you might end up in the show as well. So anyway, about Dagon. It's quite hard to find information on the web about this artist, especially since Dagon is A, the name of an ancient fertility god, B, the title of a famous story by H.P. Lovecraft, and C, another Dagon is the leader of the dark metal band Inquisition and a very controversial guy, so there's a lot of stuff written on the internet about this Dagon. But today, we're talking about Dagon, also known as George Georgalas, an independent artist from Greece. He's from Athens, and he truly works according to the punk DIY, do-it-yourself mentality. He specializes in electronic music in many forms. He writes the songs, he writes the lyrics, he produces and he performs them. Dark tunes, bold lyrics and uplifting beats. That's what Dagon is about. Polykala. Here is our Insta Outcast, Eternal Void.
Hey, this is Dagon. You're listening to The Infected. The next song is called Eternal Outcast.
Eternal void in my soul. exactly.
So, Eternal Void from Dagon, all the way from Athens, Greece. I know for a fact that he's also been active in the music biz for quite a long time. And he's been writing material for other artists for a while before he actually started out for himself. And the reason that he decided to become an artist in the end is to be able to have no compromises and do everything exactly the way he wanted it to. And if you've worked for clients for a while, I'm sure you can relate to that sort of feeling.
I did for a while, but luckily not that long. So thanks for sharing this track. I must say I loved the synth work, and also the beat is nice and aggressive, just the way I like it. What did you think of this?
I liked it for, I think it's original, it is dark, but it's also trying to be upbeat at the same time, which gives it a sort of a twist, which is interesting. That's what I liked about it. And I also appreciate the attitude, doing everything by yourself and no compromises. And I think you can hear that in the track as well.
Most definitely, most definitely. And the upbeat energy is definitely tangible. I have to say, I'm not per se a big fan of the singing. It's not the lyrics, but it's a shame that Dagon tries to fill up the spaces in the track with vocals. And I heard that across more tracks that he does, while the synth work, the musicalism, the talent is obviously there. There's just maybe a tad too much singing, but... I still like the track.
I guess that's also the thing, right? If you're doing everything yourself, it's really hard to excel at everything. And I don't think the singing is the strongest part of his performance, but you can also hear it in his album where he tries to do different stuff with his voice. So sometimes he really transforms it. Sometimes he sings clean and he tries different things. So it's interesting. But yeah, I do agree that... I don't know, maybe it gets less poppy and less accessible if you make it darker and more instrumental, but for us that definitely would have been an option.
It's definitely an interesting track because, like you say, we go from dark moody and beats to some more happy melody synth riffs. And I don't know, I just think the track should benefit from some more patience and rest, but apart from that, it's a really nice one.
Yeah, thanks for sharing this with us, Dagon. And thanks for introducing it yourself, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So from Dagon, we're going to take it back all the way back to 1977. I'm talking about a band that is Scars. Not The Scars, but Scars. And there's a good chance you haven't heard about them yet. So they were a post-punk band from Edinburgh, Scotland. And they were a supporting act for Susie and the Banshees, who were also fans of their work. Have you heard of them before? No.
No, never heard of them.
Me neither. This is just one band I stumbled upon by accident in Amsterdam in a record store. That is Concerto. I picked it because of the album cover. It's got a funky look and the record turned out to be epic, in my opinion. So, back to Scars. After releasing just a few singles in the late 70s, they released their first album, and only album, in 1981. It's called Author, Author. And still, this album is a piece of art in my book. So these Scots managed to create an original and interesting blend of ska, a dub-like feeling, combined with post-punk. On the surface, their music sounds a bit poppy, I agree, but with the right amount of dark through its 10 tracks. The single All About You sounds like it could have become a hit. Its promo video is on YouTube, by the way. We'll post it on our website, that is theinfected.nl. So the song All About You, it has a certain drive. It's melodic, it's mysterious, almost like an artier or more subtle counterpart of I Will Follow of U2. Yes, that's quite a statement. It is. But just listen in a minute. Maybe you'll agree or maybe you won't. However, it was not a hit, and after some changes in the band lineup, they split up in 1982. They just did one album in their 5 years of existence. And perhaps in a less crowded market than the one in 1981, they would have made a mark. In a time where post-punk was being made for stadiums and bigger audiences, that maybe didn't help them either. So this is Scars with All About You.
Just to clear the air.
I love it, man. This is awesome. I've never heard of these guys, but looking at this video, I just had so much fun. That's 4 minutes of amazement, surprise, and the post-industrial bleak 80s in Edinburgh, and people walking around with face paint and snakes for no reason at all. I don't know how much before MTV this is. I don't even know why they made a video clip, because I don't think this has been aired on TV a lot, but yeah.
Could only guess, maybe because they would be booked as a live act. I'm not sure, because it's 1981 and the clip must have not been later than that, because they split up quite soon after. So
it's a 4 minute video clip, which has, I wouldn't say a lot of production value, but I would say that it's definitely a fun watch. So go check it out. The link is on our website. And actually, if I look at the video, in the first couple of stills, they are called The Scar instead of Scars. So there's something with the name as well. You know anything about that?
Obviously, before we do the show, Jeroen and I look up all the information that we can. Wasn't able to find much on Scars. Not sure why they changed it to Scars, because The Scars makes much more sense. Like, easier.
It was The Scar, the single version also.
The Scar, even The Scar. No clue as of why.
Yeah. But as to the music, I think they in a pleasant way remind me of something halfway between the Jam and the Clash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really nice track, and I had lots of energy there. I enjoyed it.
Good to hear, Jeroen. It's quite refreshing. They're from Scotland, that's one. They make post-punk, that's two. But they blend in a certain funky or fun feel. It's like an interesting combination.
Yeah, it's accessible. It's still post-punk, and it has this sort of edgy guitar, and they're pretty happy in the end of the song. They're shouting quite enthusiastically, and there's a lot of atmosphere, but it's still accessible, so it's nice, that balance. That's what defines good post-punk, man. That's exactly this.
Cool. Glad to hear you liked it, man.
So the next song goes out to Jessica, or Blue Jay. Hi there. She listens to The Infected all the way from Arkansas, USA, and she's part of an excellent local fringe scene, and also an associate producer of the podcast Shadow Transmission, which also features dark and alternative music. And I checked it out. I can definitely recommend that as well. Besides Shadow Transmission, Jessica had another tip. The Luna Negra online streaming festival, which will take place on January 29th, 2021. So if you hear this in time, go check it out. The Luna Negra online streaming festival with several post-punk and dark acts. As always, the links to the podcast and festival will be in the show notes on theinfected.nl. And Jessica also loves B-sides by The Cure. I've lined up a special treat. Now, Gove, you may know the song Lament from the Chinese Whispers EP. Ring a bell?
Yes, I did know it, but if I looked at Spotify, it was seemingly on a different album than what I would remember.
Yeah, so there's a great story to this track, because the version that most people know, Lament from the Chinese Whispers EP, is a rework version. Mm-hmm. What we'll play in a minute is the original version of the song, and it's officially by The Cure. But it's not really by The Cure.
Is it not?
Nope.
Oh?
So here's what happened. Remember Blue Sunshine?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. How can I forget that obscure piece of art? Yes.
So we discussed this in an earlier episode of the podcast.
Yes, sir.
So The Cure were so divided during the Pornography tour for their Dark Fourth album that it came to fistfights between band members, and they parted ways in the middle of the tour. Gallup leaving the band and others no longer on speaking terms. So depressed and convinced that they would never play again, Robert disappeared into the Lake District, leaving no forwarding address. Several weeks later, Flexi Pop magazine asked Robert if The Cure could write a Flexi disc track, and this would be cover mounted on their magazine. And thus, Robert was faced with a dilemma. Either he had to come up with something by himself, or he would have to admit publicly to a magazine that The Cure existed no more.
Mm.
So he decided to do it himself. And playing his trusty old Woolworth's Top 20 guitar.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is actually a guitar he bought in a department store. He wrote this song called Lament. Although the track was credited to The Cure, in fact it was recorded by Robert Smith and Steve Severin of Susie and the Banshees. Susie and the Banshees were also having a tough time. Smith wrote the guitar and bass parts and then booked the Garden Studio in London. He phoned Severin and said, "Get some stuff, we're going to record a song." And he went along with his Woolworth's guitar, a bass, a drum machine and two wooden flutes. That's what he took to the studio. Severin was officially the producer.
Ambitious.
Yeah. but Severin actually spent most of the session gripping the edge of the mixing desk and laughing out loud as Smith staggered in and out of the control room, asking, "What was that like, then?" The volume of the hi-hat in the mix, the wild fish panning, and the dubious coherence of the vocals are a bit of a giveaway as to their states of mind. So, let's check it out. Here is the original FlexiDisc version of Lament.
And the FlexiDisc is like the bendable vinyl record you could put on it?
Yeah, it's not even vinyl. It's just plastic. And it's flexible. That's why it's called a flexi disc. And this was stapled to the front, to the cover of the magazine.
Plastic. Yeah, you could play it one time. Yeah, that should be a collector's item by now then, right?
The flexi disc is probably a collector's item also because it's so. You know, very cheap plastic. And it scratches really easily. So if you have something that's still playable after all these years, I'd be very surprised. I love this because of the imagery of a guy who thinks he has no longer a band, taking a cheap-ass guitar from a department store, two wooden flutes and a drum computer to a studio, tries to record a song to keep up appearances, is being laughed at by his best friend at that time, and still produces a song.
That must be the best testimonial for a cheap-ass guitar ever, like a top 20 guitar, and actually make a track this great.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just a very amazing song, actually. And the fun thing is, it's about a river that was called Lament, or Lamant, lending the title to a double meaning. I looked it up. It's actually probably something that happened on holiday in the south of France, because it's about a memory that Robert had as a boy. He watched a dead man get pulled from the river. And even though Robert did experience this as a boy, he doesn't seem to be very disturbed by the memory. Because the man who kills himself in the lyrics is smiling, and although cold, seems perfectly happy to walk into the water. So rather than a horror story, the lyrics are quite surrealistic. It's a very atmospheric track, and especially if you consider how it came into being, I think it's something that really showcases the talent of Robert Smith. What did you think?
Well, I have nothing to add there. Robert Smith can't do anything wrong in my book. And when we just talked about Blue Sunshine, there's the movie, which we discussed, I believe, 6 episodes ago or 5 or something. And then you had Blue Sunshine, the band, with Robert Smith and Susie, right?
Yep.
Robert Smith is like a hero. He can't do anything wrong. And the story, I didn't know about this. And that's what I love about this. We just learn from each other and talk about music. Just got to play this song like 3, 4, 5 times again. I'm just thinking in visual terms, like there's two guys going into a studio. They're young, they have a cheap-ass guitar, they got all of it in their head, and they're just made it into this song. That's a bit of magic.
I'll send you the other version or a link to it. No problems there. Yep.
I got something else for you guys. We're approaching our movie section.
The big picture.
Ensure all residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded. Attackers can be stopped by removing the head or destroying the brain. I'll repeat that, by removing the head or destroying the brain.
I'm talking about Night of the Living Dead, but not the original from 1968, but the remake from 1990. A little bit of interesting stuff, because Night of the Living Dead is a fan favorite and a favorite of ours. But did you know it was originally called Night of the Flesh Eaters? Anyway, it turned out that there was already a movie with that exact name, can you believe it? And they renamed it to Night of the Living Dead. And George A. Romero was a bit young and naive at the time, so he did not put a copyright notice on the new title, Night of the Living Dead. And also his zombie concept. And what I mean by that is that zombies were creatures that were resurrected from death. They were slow moving, they were eating brains, they had a specific appearance, etc, etc, etc. They didn't copyright it. So the movie was basically released into the public domain at that time. And it had countless spin-offs and rip-offs, like Return of the Living Dead. You may even say that Evil Dead is derived from it. Anyway, George A. Romero and his company have been prosecuting copycats for over 30 years now. They didn't make the money that they should have from the original movie. So part of the reason to do the remake in 1990 was motivated by those copyright issues. They thought it would help to fight the case again, and by now tying the right copyrights to the title and also make some actual money this time around. It wasn't a big hit, and I doubt they made a lot of money this time. Anyways, it resulted in a frame-by-frame remake of the original. What I like about it is that it stands the test of time much better. The acting is great, the mood is even better than the original, and the soundtrack is also very worthwhile. And they had the famous horror special effects artist Tom Savini, aka the King of Splatter, direct this movie. And he actually played a zombie in the original from 1968, and decades later he got to direct the remake. That's kind of a cool story. The song of the soundtrack we're about to play is called Passage to Normal.
Thank you.
All right, so that was a trip. That was Passage to Normal from Night of the Living Dead. Thank you for listening. I hope you liked this episode. And this season, we have a special competition for you. Hang on till the end for a chance to win free merch. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our site at www.theinfected.nl. And come steal our music. On theinfected.nl, you'll find Spotify playlists and the spirit of The Infected, with all the songs we've ever played on the show. Also on theinfected.nl, the show notes of each episode with the stories and relevant links, and a shop with cool merchandise. Or you can use the site to get in touch, say hi, or suggest a track. That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and on to the competition. For this whole season, we'll end the show with an 8-bit minute. If you can recognize the artist and track, send us a message via theinfected.nl. At the end of the season, the best listener wins a luxury, back-printed The Infected t-shirt. And here is episode 1's 8-bit track. Good night.
It's just that you look remarkably like Eddie Van Halen.
I just saw Eddie Van Halen.
Man, how was it?
He's a zombie.